Just across town is another piece of Philadelphia history, an ornate 19th century mansion off Rittenhouse Square. To ascend its staircase is to think of ball gowns and symphonies. Every wall is richly paneled in sumptuous wood. Appropriately, this is the home of the Curtis Institute of Music. We climbed two flights of stairs, passing practice rooms radiating with furious bowing or vocal scales or strumming, and sat down with a double bassist, Edgar Meyer. At 45, Meyer has been called a virtuoso, an original, a genius. His range seems infinite, from classical to jazz to bluegrass. He's at home writing for Yo-Yo Ma or collaborating with Lyle Lovett. He's a three-time Grammy Award winner and Nashville native. For the past few years, Meyer has driven up from Tennessee to teach at Curtis once a month. We joined him in the bass room, which looks as if it was once a long, narrow maid's quarters. There's a row of enormous basses on one wall, and to take the edge off the seriousness of all this, pictures of trophy fish and an advertising plaque. Great stuff, this bass. Get it? B-A-S-S? Nothing about Meyer is somber. He's kinetic, 5'10", husky. This Tuesday, the ultimate collaborator will release a new self-titled CD, Edgar Meyer, in which he plays every one of the instruments, 277 strings in all. The bass, though, is the star and the instrument he's loved most since boyhood.
From the first moment that I can remember, I had identified myself as a bass player and had everything to do with my father, who was a bass player. And he loved music, you know, as much as anybody I've ever seen. And that dynamic, I just thought somehow it was a straight pass to me. Mm-hmm. I was drawn to being like my father and also just kind of a love of music. And frankly, if you'd heard him play the violin, he used to teach elementary through high school. If you'd heard him play the violin, which was not very good, and heard him play the bass, which was pretty good, you would think that you would want to be a bass player. So, you know, he had grown up playing jazz, and then when he was older, he wanted to learn to read music and to use a bow. And he was actually very embarrassed by the fact that the first times he was in an orchestra, he didn't know when to come in. He'd have to watch the other bass players to know when to play.
Because he couldn't read the music.
Yes. So if my father, he did not want me to suffer those embarrassments. So from age 5, it was about reading and about using the bow. And he would play duets with me every day and make sure that I could hold my own place and wasn't getting, you know, having to wonder when to come in like he did. So overall, it was more classical music. But from a young age, you know, we also played a lot of other music together. And it was a very open household and in a way that actually a lot of bass players' houses are.
I do have to ask you, though, you've got a good story, I understand, about your first bass. We can't let that go.
Well, or the bass that I started playing when I was 11, really. That is a bass that my father heard about that some people were using as a flower planter. And it had fallen off a truck, and they thought they just didn't bother to repair it. And so my father purchased it for $25, and I played it until I was 23. And it's actually a wonderful instrument. I use it quite often.
As a flower planter, or?
No, as a bass. it's a Czech bass, 1933, and like on this most recent record that I did, I use it for one pizzicato part on a song called Woody Creek, and it's a nice bass.
Well-loved.
Yeah.
You take us into your music room in Nashville on this new CD, which is self-titled, Edgar Meyer. And on it you play 277 strings, I guess if you count up all the different instruments, right?
Most of them are on the piano.
Well, and tell us what the other ones are then.
Okay, well, there is gamba, mandolin, guitar, dobro, piano and bass, and banjo. Beautiful collection of instruments. Piano I've looked for all my life and very happy with. And then I have a nice guitar, and Dan Hatches built me this beautiful gamba.
Yeah. And because we like to be all things to all listeners, just refresh us on the gamba.
Gamba is the precursor to the violin and the cello. The bass is actually a member of the gamba family, so the little gambas actually look like little basses. And the highest ones are up in the violin register, and that's what was used on this recording was. So the sound that you think sounds kind of like a violin, that's the right description, kind of like a violin. Jerry Douglas lent me a dobro that I stood next to for many years.
Roundabout. I had it on Roundabout.
Yeah, on Roundabout, the dobro comes in. And I probably owe Jerry big time for that. I actually completely stole his lick. just the big rake across the strings. You know, my friends come up to me and they go, "You did that? You did the Jerry Douglas thing?"
Remember, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Oh, yeah. You know, most of this record was not written down, but for example, on a piece like Roundabout, which has a complicated piano part, I wrote that down entirely, and then I practiced it for 2 or 3 weeks, because it's difficult. And so, my family had to endure many hours of that.
Why did you decide that you wanted to make a record, I still call them records, with yourself? And tell us how you did it.
Well, in regards to the actual process, I have a little monitor that I wheel over next to the piano, and I just press record, and I could, do takes for a while, and then I could stop and listen to a few of them, and if I liked it, I could edit a couple together, and then I could listen to that and add an instrument or two or see what it needed. In terms of inspiration, the general act of making music is often highly collaborative. You know, if you're in classical music, you're already collaborating with a composer, and also the give and take between the musicians is often very defining. And sometimes I actually really love the idea of something that's more like a sculpture or writing a novel, where you really see something through from kind of a beginning vision all the way to a completed thing. And I've probably always been inspired. I mean, maybe one album in particular, or one set of records, was those early Stevie Wonder records where he actually self-produced those three or four records, right. Inner Visions and Music of My Mind, and those titles are even evocative of part of what I find attractive of this type of thing.
For the past several years, Edgar Meyer has been teaching at Curtis alongside principal bass professor Hal Robinson. Meyer has 7 students who receive his individual attention. Here, they're all assembled in a bass class listening to a duet. Violinist Hyejin Kim plays with student Nathan Farrington.
I'm a 5th-year student here, and when I started here, he wasn't teaching. He wasn't really teaching anywhere, which everyone sort of regarded as a sort of a travesty, you know, because he was doing things on the instrument that no one else could do. But I remember the day that Hal called our studio together and called us to the bass room, and he wouldn't tell us what he wanted to talk about, and it was very strange, him calling a meeting. And the big news was that Edgar was going to start teaching, and everyone just went nuts.
Sounds great.
I came in with sort of fast hands and some decent musical ideas, but he showed me how undisciplined my approach to the instrument was, and he did it through Bach, which is his great love, you know. And you know, we always ask him, well, how did you get so good? And you know, was it scales? Was it, what was it? And he played Bach slowly, and he just looked at his hands during those hours of Bach, you know, and he said, every technical situation that you'll ever run into in music elsewhere, you'll find it in Bach. And if you can be disciplined enough to slow down and watch yourself and figure out exactly what all the parts of your hands are doing, you'll gain tremendously from it. And I spent a year doing that, and my hands just were transformed.
Finger on that one, or let me see what you
did.
Well, you kind of got away with it that time.
You're really busy. I mean, a lot of great artists don't necessarily take the time to teach. Why teach?
I can tell you I'm not exactly sure why I teach. I think a lot of it is just a sense of community, a real desire to be involved both with people older than myself and people younger. Curtis is nice because their ties to the past are stronger than most places. In a sense, it's a more conservative institution than any I can think of, which actually I find very inspiring. And of course, you know, I work here with Hal Robinson, who is the principal bass in the Philly Orchestra. I should even say I work at the pleasure of Hal Robinson, and who's really the primary teacher here. And one of the things we often love is that we don't say the same thing. Sometimes I think the student may learn more if Hal and I have a completely different viewpoint on an issue than if we agree. And Curtis has enabled a lot of that spirit.
Graciously, Meyer said he'd play something for us from his new CD. Before our interview, he'd warned us he was wired. Nothing, he said, loosens me up. That's not quite true. Leaving him on this piece, he seemed tense for a moment, but then, as his fingers flew and his arms embraced the bass, he was as sinuous as a man lost in a dream. This tune is called The Low Road. Edgar Meyer's self-titled CD comes out this Tuesday. You can hear another performance, plus music from the CD, on our website, npr.org. Our feature was produced by Ned Wharton and recorded by Rob Byers. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden.